I want to go back. There's one point that I forgot to point out in Sif Aleph, which is very, very Nogea L'maisa. And that is, if you just look back for a second at Sif Aleph, at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Beis. He quotes from the Prima Gavin here. Chol she yishtofik plugta bazei hab b'chol bishol olav o b'shar melochos ki agavna ein lesser b'di'evid chol ha'itzer azer rak b'di rabbonu shikatsu ispey b'di rabbonu l'kula Prima Gavin, etc. b'ayin, etc. What does he say? He says he has a big kula from the Prima Gavin. This whole din that you're allowed to be nana for Maitzah Shabbos is only a knas b'drabana. So we should say stuff during l'kula. So what if it's a machlokas whether you're allowed to do something on Shabbos or not? Then you shouldn't do it, because something kula Shabbos is l'chumra. But if someone already did it, then you don't have to ask or eating it or using it on Shabbos, because now that someone already did it, it's not a shayla kula Shabbos anymore. It's just a shayla, did Chazal make a knas? If it's just Shiloh Knas, we say Suffolk, Drabana, and Lakula. Therefore, anything that's a machlokas aposkin, whether it's mutter or usher to do on Shabbos, even if we're macher not to do it, but once someone already did it, it's only a Shiloh, is there a Knas or not, then we can be makel, there's no Knas. So whatever's a machlokas, if someone already did it, you can eat it, because there's no Knas. When he says, I am the common, the Torah Ian Tzas, that's because sometimes the Echronim sound this way, they're stiras, sometimes the Echronim don't exactly sound this way. But the minig is certainly when you have like a real machlokas with two chashim opinions, even if we're machmir not to do it to avoid suffer kol Shabbos, if someone already did it, the mezid or shogeg or whatever it is, then you'd be nene from it afterwards. Likewise, let's say it's machlokas and your minig is not to do something, someone else's minig is to do something on Shabbos. Then if they did it already, then you don't have to worry, you'd be nene from it, because since it's machlokas and it's mutter or usher anyway, so b'di'evid, we assume we can be mekel if there's no knas, and you can be nene from it afterwards.
That's the whole opening bottle thing.
So that's like, for example, if you don't open bottles, someone else does, you can be nene, etc., etc. You don't have to worry, whatever's a legitimate machlokas on poskim, for sure, if someone does, whether they did it because they followed that opinion, or they just did it by accident, or they just did it because they didn't know, or whatever. Or even if they're not from and they did it and they just happened to do something with the machlok stafoskim, then b'di'evid, if they did it, there's no knas and you can eat it or utilize it on Shabbos. If it's more of like a far out shita that's a machlokas, then it's more controversial. But certainly in a regular machlokas, we are making this is very nogea l'maisa, because in the modern era, a lot of things are machlokas on Shabbos.
This is brought up in the Mishnah Berurah?
Yeah, I just read you the Mishnah Berurah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, now we're ready to go to Sif Gimel. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel. Kishem she'asol vashel or kach asol vashel betoldo so'or. Just like it's usher to... it's not really or, it's really or. Just like it's usher to cook in a fire, it's usher to cook in something heated by the fire. You only take beitza of tzad kedera, Olashabra al sudar shehucha or kadesha titzaleh. Like, for example, to put an egg. Eggs are very easy to cook. To put an egg next to a hot pot, or to crack an egg over a cloth that was heated in the fire, even though you're not actually putting the egg in the fire, it's just getting the heat of something that got heat from the fire. That is still usher, and we assume that it's the one Yishadar Raisa. According to the mainstream poskim, this, another example of Toldos Or, is what we call Kli Rishon Shel Al Gabi Ha'esh. Right, here we talk about putting something next to a Kedera. What about something in a Kedera? You have a pot of soup, you cook it on the fire. This pot of soup is now Toldos Or. If you take this pot of soup off the fire, it's called a Kli Rishon Shel Al Gabi Ha'esh, Kli Rishon off the fire. According to the majority poskim, if I then put raw food into this Kli Rishon that's off the fire and I cook it, that is Bishul D'Oraisa, because that's Toldos Ha'or, and Toldos Ha'or is also D'Oraisa, just like Bishul B'Or Atzmo. However, V'afilu B'Toldos Ha'chama, Ki Yom B'Sudah Shehuchim B'Chama, also G'zera, also Toldos Ha'or, even, not only that, even told us Acham, that things which were heated by the sun is usher midrabbanan, because you might confuse them with things heated by a fire. For example, if I have a frying pan, I could leave it out in the sun on a brilliant hot August day in Beit Shemesh, and it'll be a million degrees, or I could put it on my stove empty and it'll be a million degrees. Then I take it to the table and I crack an egg on it and fry the egg. So if someone's looking, they don't know whether this frying pan has told us it works, it was heated on the stove, or told us Acham, it was heated outside in the sun. And therefore, midrabbanan told us Acham is usher, because it can easily be confused with told us or b'chin that mean b'chol. Likewise, you can't take an egg and bury it in hot sand from the sun, or bury it in hot dirt on the road. They got hot from the sun, but in the sun itself, like to crack an egg in the sun will beat down and fry it, or to put water in the sun on a very hot day, and the water will get hot. It would have to be a really hot day. That is perfectly okay. Bachama atzmo is perfectly okay. Okay, so yeah.
Why is the Chama a separate category from Warren?
Great question. That is the $64,000 question. We're going to start with Chama and then go back to Tolos Chama, because the principle is Midoraisa is using Warren Chama. Then we got one and they dealt with the Tolos, right? Or is Doraisa, that's classic cooking, you put something on a fire. Chama is heter gutter. Why is Bishul b'chama mutter? So this seems to be a bit of a machlokes. What would we think? We wouldn't necessarily know what to think. But some Rishonim sound like the mashmos of some Rishonim and Achronim, the mashmos of the Iri and the Kiryat Sefer. There's also, by the way, a Shutnot of Yehuda, where the Shoel, the Shutnot of Yehuda, says this very explicitly, although it's not the Shutnot of Yehuda, it's the only person who asks the question, says it's just the definition of Bishul is with fire. Maybe that's just the definition of the word Bishul. When the Torah says Bishul, it means with fire. After all, every word has a definition. How do you know what the definition of the word is? You really don't if you don't have a dictionary. You have to try to mediate the definition of the word from context. So we context of Shas, you look in Shas, it says Bacham is mutter. It must be the definition of the word. Bishul means cooking in fire.
Is the sun fire?
What?
The sun
is not a fire. What makes the sun not a fire is a great question. But the simple answer is because the way we look at the world, the sun's not a fire. Even if scientifically, you know, I'm not sure exactly how to measure the difference between the sun's fire and other fires, you know, but it's not the kind of fire that we talk about when we mean fire. To human beings, it doesn't appear like a fire, it appears to be a heavenly light. However, Rashi says something very confusing. What does Rashi say? Right? Rashi and Daf Lamed Tesav and Aleph, Rashi and Daf Lamed Tesav and Aleph says that it's not derech bishul v'chama, says Rashi, on this sugya that the Shulchan Aruch is based on here. If you look in the Beis Yosef, you'd see it's based on Daf Lamed Tes. It says Rashi Daf Lamed Tes, and the ain derech bishul lo b'kach, because it's not the derech to cook in the fire. Ain derech bishul lo. The question. What?
Is there two different answers?
It's not focus.
I'm saying these are two different answers. Like, they seem like you're saying the same thing. They're very similar.
Okay, so hold that up. One second. One is saying it's the. Okay, so give me a second. Ain't derech bekach. What does that sound like to us? When someone says in Shabbos, not the derech, what halachic category does that sound like? What do we call doing kalacha? Yeah! Just doing Malacha Shloka Darka. Rabbi Chanan understands in the Kovach Shirin, the thing that's on the brackets here, maybe, yeah, that Rashi literally means the Torah Kalacha. Yeah, it's the Torah Malacha Shloka Darka. Of course, what's strange about that is that if it's really doing Malacha, not in the normal way, what should we have said? Should we have said it's Mutter?
Asr Rabbanan.
Should have said it's Asr Rabbanan. That's a little fun. So what does he mean? Right? What does he mean?
Shinoi Gamor.
Rashi mean? Okay, so the Kovach Shiurim Says it's the general category of melacha shelo kedarka. Right? You do melacha in the unusual way, usually it's Hasgur Rabbanan, in this case it's mutter. Rav Moshe has a big chesher. Right? What's Rav Moshe's chesher? What's Rav Moshe's chesher? He says that right, but what's his chesher? How did he explain Rashi? Meaning, who cares that it's not the derech? How is that relevant?
Is it mufka?
But why is it mufka? Because it's not the derech. He adds one thing. Because what's the key here? What's the key to understanding this Rashi according to Rav Moshe? The key is four letters. I mean, don't worry about the four letters. You can say it in different ways.
Fire?
No, I think for Moshe, the key is Mishkan. What does Moshe say? He says, all the Avos Melacha are learned from the Mishkan. The way they did it in the Mishkan is what's Asur and Shabbos. It's not, it had nothing to do with the word Bishul. After all, it doesn't say the word Bishul in the Torah about Shabbos anyway. It just says, don't do Melacha, and puts it next to the Mishkan. So whatever was done in the Mishkan, or whatever equivalent to what was done in the Mishkan is a Melacha D'oraisa. Whatever is not similar to that which is done in the Mishkan is Heter Gomer, because it's not similar to the Mishkan. So says Rav Moshe, it's not a din of Shlok Kedarka. No, it's that in the Mishkan they cooked with fire. Now, however, you don't have to do things exactly like you do it in the Mishkan, right? In the Mishkan, they cooked with fire. When is it? When is a malacha to do things a little different than the Mishkan? When is it not? That depends how similar it is to a Mishkan. If you could come up with another heat source, that was similar to fire, then we'd say it's a tolda. We'd say, okay, we just extend it. Rav Moshe, what's Rav Moshe, by the way, he's disproved Rav Elchanan, says if it's really a matter of what's usual, what's unusual, then why is the frying pan heated on the stove asur d'oraisa and the frying pan heated in the sun only asur d'rabbanan? Once the frying pan's on your table, it's a better example, he says. Chamei Tveria, the machlokas, where the hot springs of Tveria are heated by the sun or by a fire. So, who cares about the machlokas? Just look if it's normal to cook there or not. Obviously, Chazal didn't look if it was normal to cook or not. They looked what category fell into. Why should there be a difference in categories? So basically, Rav Moshe is saying, I know Rashi says it's a matter of derech, but I know that's not true. It's not what people usually do. It's a matter of the category. So you have to bridge, figure out how to turn Rashi's derech into creating a category. How does he do that? With the Mishkan. He says, the Mishkan they cooked with fire, and he says, any category of cooking which is like fire is malacha. Any category of cooking which is unlike fire is not malacha. So what does Rashi want to figure out? If cooking in the sun is like cooking in a fire or is not like cooking in the fire? Not because the rule of kalach or yad. Because he wants to know if it's learned from the Mishkan or not. So, what does Rashi say? Well, fire is the normal thing you cook with. Sun is not the normal thing you cook with. Once it's not the normal thing you cook with, cooking in the sun is not similar to what was done in the Mishkan. Once it's not similar to that which was done in the Mishkan, it's not usher at all, because it's just not in the malachos. And that's the difference. Rav says it's a malacha, but with a ptur of not doing it the normal way. Rav Moshe says, no, it's not a malacha at all. Why not? It's not a malach at all because it's not similar to what was done in the Mishkan. And that's what he says. Since the sun is not a normal way to cook, it's not dumya the Mishkan. And if it's not dumya the Mishkan, it's not a malacha. That's Rav Moshe's chaf.
So basically, that which is a normal way to cook is parallel to that which the Mishkan, even if it's not the way you did it.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like, for example, they cook dyes in the Mishkan. Right. So how do we know that even includes cooking eggs, which they didn't cook in the Mishkan? Ah, because it's equivalent. So obviously you need a lot of judgment calls to figure out what's equivalent. That's what Moshe's Chayav. Moshe's Chayav is since it's Shlo Kedarka, that makes it not similar to Mishkan. Once it's not similar to Mishkan, it's not a Malach at all. So let's go to the microwave. Just before we go to the microwave, we need one more Shita. Which is, give me half a second, which is Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I think it's quoted in the footnote I put someplace here. There's also the Mincha Shlomo. In the Mincha Shlomo, so in Yud Beis, Chel Galus in Yud Beis, the Mincha Shlomo says, Rashi really means, the definition of the word bishul. He really doesn't mean anything about the derech. Derech is lav davka. He really just means it's not the definition of the word. So we have, even within Rashi, he says Rashi didn't mean anything to do with the derech. So we have three different mahalchim as to why is bishul bechama not bishul. One mahalach is it's not the definition of the word bishul. And that's what Shlomo Zalman says Rashi means. A second mahalach is that it is bishul, but not kedarka. It is bishul, but not the normal way. And the third derech is what Ramosha says. It is within definition of the word bishul, but it's not malacha because it's not dumya the mishkan. It's not similar to what they did in the mishkan.
So Kher Rosh Shlomo Zalman, there's no machlokas Rashi Meiri.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. He says there, no one ever said anything but it's just not what the word bishul
right.
means. Nafka Mina could be, of course. The big question, now, it's not such a lemaisa question, cooking microwaves on Shabbos. Why is it not such a lemaisa question? Because we can't use electricity on Shabbos anyway, right? So, it's not such a lemaisa question. I mean, clearly, it's also to cook in a microwave on Shabbos, because you can't use electricity. But, is it a melacha d'oraisa bishul or not? Keep in mind, according to most poskim, electricity is not usher d'oraisa. So we want to know, is it an usher d'oraisa bishul if I put a raw potato in the microwave and cook it?
Why is it
usher d'oraisa? Electricity? So I think we discussed this once. It's not so clear. Obviously, none of the classical makoros talk about electricity for the very understandable reason that it wasn't invented. The Chazon Ish says electricity is an issue of Raisa because when you turn on an electric blind, that's bona, when you turn it off, it's soser. Most people say that either it's a minute not to use electricity, or Shlomo Zalman says maybe it's an issur d'rabbanan to turn on electric appliance, because it's like molid reach of gadim. It's like when you give a new property or something and it looks like malacha. So here, when you turn something on and make it work, it looks like malacha, so it's an issur d'rabbanan.
They don't say electricity is similar to fire or something?
That's a great question, but it doesn't. I mean, when they first mentioned electricity, a lot of some of the posts will say, it's considered lighting a fire to close an electric circuit. But then most posts can assume that no, electricity is not a fire. Like, what makes it a fire? Like, where's the fire? Nothing's burning. Nothing's.
Well, I mean, it'll ignite something if you
No, I'm not talking about a light bulb. An incandescent light bulb was for sure an issur d'oraisa. That is a filament. But I'm talking about just you turn on a fan. Like, where's the fire? There's no fire in the fan. Originally, they thought there was a fire. Why? Because they used to have steam engines, and there's a big fire, and then the electricity, so they said that's a different kind of fire. And then all posts by nowadays agree. Again, all, you'll find one, but the mainstream posts can nowadays agree that electricity is not a fire. After all, it's not a fire. I don't see any fire. Nafka Mina might be. What about a microwave? Is a microwave bishul d'oraisa? Or not? Not can you do it? But nafka mina, which Shlomo Zalman dealt with.
You have some kind of timer set to do it. Would that be?
Yeah, but it's technically very tricky to get that to work for a microwave because of opening the door and closing the door. It's.
I'm saying, let's say we have a special microwave.
Right. So correct. Theoretically, you could set it up if you really wanted to. You could set up a microwave on a timer, and all you have to do is put the food in. And then the question is, are you allowed to put the food in on Shabbos? Right. You're not turning on anything electric. All you're doing is cooking. Okay. Our modern-day microwaves don't work that way, but you could invent a microwave to work that way if you really wanted to, or the question is in a hospital. If you have to cook in a hospital for chol sheish v'sakana, is it better to use a microwave than to use an oven? Because an oven is d'oraisa, and a microwave might not be d'oraisa.
Well,
that's what Shlomo Zalman tells
us. Why would you think that it is d'oraisa?
Because it's cooking. Aren't you cooking? You put raw food and you cook it. Can't you cook in a microwave?
Okay,
again, I'm not talking about heating up the leftovers in a microwave. That's if daladin, bishlach or bishel. I'm talking actually cooking, right? You can actually cook in a microwave. You take a cup of cold water, a mug of cold water, you put it in the microwave, and it turns into hot water, right? That's real cooking.
But that's what Rebbe just said is really this on the other side, namely, whether this is bishel d'oraisa or d'rabbanan will have an effect whether I can cook it again.
Correct. So, what about in the microwave? So, if you said that a son's not the definition of the word bishel, why not? Because the definition of the word bishel is with a fire. A microwave has no fire, so it should not be bishel. Again, I don't want to write mutter, because it's also used electricity, but it's not bishel. Even if I take raw food and I put it in the microwave, it turns to cooked food. That's like putting the sun and turning into cooked food. Should be heter gomer. If I take the approach of Rabbi Chanan, that it's a matter of what's normal versus what's abnormal, clearly it's not weird to cook in a microwave. It's weird to cook in the sun, right? If you see someone cooking in the sun, you'll say, boy, that guy's doing a weird thing. You know, it's like carrying things in my elbow, right? That's a weird thing to do. Or it's like crushing pepper with the handle of a knife. That's a weird thing to do. But cooking in the microwave is not a weird thing to do. Lots of people cook in the microwave all the time.
Most people warm things up
in the microwave, not like, they cook something. No, but it's not weird to cook in the microwave. You saw someone cooking in a microwave. Wait, you see, put a raw potato in the microwave.
It's not
really
the derech, no?
What?
The derech of bit means it's called derech.
No, but it's a matter of, like, that it shouldn't be kalach or yad.
Well,
it shouldn't be as weird as, what are the things that are part of kalach or yad? You carry in your elbow, or you grind your pepper with the handle of a knife instead of a grinder. Right? This is not like that. This is like a normal thing you expect people to do sometimes.
But it depends what you're cooking. If someone was cooking a steak in the microwave, that would be weird.
Ah, okay. You're right. It might depend on what you're cooking. You're right. Meaning, according to Rav Chanan, theoretically, it might depend on each scenario. But, you know, let's assume for the most part that if you saw someone cooking, yes, how are you cooking dinner? I'm cooking in a microwave. You would say, that's not how I usually cook dinner. That's not how most people cook dinner. But that doesn't make you weird. You could draw the, let's assume. Right, Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe says very interesting. Meaning, according to Rav Moshe, what's the chap? It depends if it's, and by the way, this is the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach actually paskins is not bishul because it's just not the definition of the word. The definition of the word bishul is a fire, and there's no fire here. However, Yerai Bleich wants to say a little more, and some people quote Rav saying this, and says, and even if the definition of the word bishul is to use anything hot, you're not even using anything hot. Not only is it not a fire, it's not even a hot thing, meaning the sun is at least something hot. But in a microwave, there's nothing hot. The food gets hot. But the rays come from someplace cold. I don't know how it works. It's somehow magic. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, microwave is for sure not an Isser D'oraisa bishul. It's for sure not any Isser bishul. It's just a Isser of electricity, Isser d'rabbanan of electricity. And therefore, he said, in a hospital, if you have to cook for a chole, better use a microwave than a regular oven.
Does that mean, theoretically, if we could set up the microwave?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think Rav Shlomo Zalman... I think he might say, you get into the issue at the end of the Ramosha, was maybe it's makib patish in some cases, there's a shita, there's makib patish by foods, if you take them totally inedible and make it edible.
But that wouldn't apply if you just wanted to warm it up.
Correct.
Is anything wrong with the Shabbos microwave?
It's really, the technical challenges are significant. Meaning the safety challenges are significant in such cases. So lemaisa, I don't think we're going to do it.
Why? What's
because you have to have a special door. It has a special thing on the door to keep the waves out because they might be harmful. And so therefore, if you make them without a door, the rays could harm you.
Of course, you have to have a door.
But if you make one with a door, then the problem is that by closing the door, you make it turn on. Because there's a safety feature that it won't turn on until you close the door. So whoever closes the door really makes it turn on. So when you close the door on Shabbos, that's a problem. So It's okay. Lamaisa, we're not going to do it. Okay, set or mode, yeah.
Mary said there is no Makkah Babish for.
Well, and Rav Moshe brings Machlokas Achronim about this in the end of his in the end of the siman that I put on the Makor sheet, and he says there's a minority sheet in the Achronim that in some cases there's Makkah Babish for food, like if it's totally inedible. And you make it edible, there might be a malacha makah b'patish. The big finish. Pashup shot is there's no makah b'patish by food.
Similar to what we said about like ashuri, ashuri, meichel, or whatever the phrase was, by a boar, whatever
it was. Yeah, okay, but we didn't use by makah b'patish. But yes, similar chiluk. Okay, the lemaisa says Rav Moshe, what would it depend? It would depend if a microwave is similar to the Mishkan or not. What would that depend on? Is a microwave a good way to cook like fire? Or not. So this would depend if a microwave is as useful a way to cook as fire or not. If a microwave is as useful as a fire, then it's d'oraisa because it's similar to the Mishkan. I don't care that it didn't exist 3,300 years ago. Now that it exists, it's similar to the Mishkan. So right there, if a microwave is not such a useful way of cooking, then it's not similar to the Mishkan. And here is where I think there's room to disagree. What does Rav Moshe conclude? Is a microwave as useful a way to cook as a fire or not? What? No, he said yes. What did he say? Says Rav Moshe, I will read you what he says. He says, the imkain bar microwave oven shetov levashul kumeish mamish. It says good as a fire for cooking. Ve'elu sheish lam tanu b'zem b'shamshu yolsim b'shleish. And whoever has a microwave oven uses it more than a stove or an oven. Whoever has a microwave uses it more than an oven. Umashlo is pashtu ve'elu adayim shem lo mazet and harbi tinurin. And the only reason everyone doesn't use a microwave oven is because they didn't manufacture enough yet because it's brand new. Shem mitzuyim v'adish shamshu kuli alma. And everyone will use microwave ovens when they make them cheap and sell them to every household. Though yolsu tovs, it's even better. Right? Okay, so here it's a little unclear. He seems to have a very optimistic view of microwave ovens. He seems to think everyone's going to use microwave ovens and they're better than regular ovens. Then see us? I mean, yeah, microwave ovens are great for warming up leftovers, which is not a type of bishel, right? It's not cooking food. Great for warming up leftovers. For cooking, microwave ovens are not so great. As a matter of fact, we rarely use microwave ovens for cooking because they're not so good for cooking. Like, the only time we use microwave ovens for cooking are when, like, we're in a big rush or we have some reason why.
That's tradition soups.
What?
Tradition soups.
Tradition soups, I think, are already cooked.
Vegetables. TV dinners.
TV dinners. You know, TV dinners are already cooked.
Really?
Use it for
I don't watch TV.
Yeah?
Corn.
Okay. So there's some things. Rav Moshe, here's where I'm a little misunderstood. Rav Moshe says, microwave ovens are as classic as regular ovens. He says, just wait. In a couple of years from now, everyone will be cooking dinner every day in the microwave. Okay, so Rav Moshe says...
I mean, what year was this?
Yeah. 1970, summer of 71.
Okay, well, I guess... And so he
summer of 71, don't ask me what it was like then. I wasn't around.
He died in 84, right?
He passed away in 85. Does that make sense? 1 second. I don't know. I was there. I was at the Leviah. 86. Sorry. Tinus Esther of 86 is when he passed away. The Leviah in America. The Leviah in America was Tinus Esther. I remember the Lower East Side. And then Leviah in Yerushalayim was Purim time. I was only at the Lower East Side part. Anyway, yeah, he passed away Tinus Esther of 1986. So it's a good question, meaning he saw what happened. Lemaisa says, or Moshe, it is. Yes, microwaves are as great as ovens. I'm not 100% convinced. After all, we've had microwaves since 71, right? It's been quite a couple of years. Lemaisa, microwaves, they're better than the sun, but they're not really substitutes for a regular oven. If someone were to say, oh, I can manage with a microwave oven without a regular oven, you would think they're very... Yeah, there are people who claim they can, but most people think they're very peculiar. So, Lanias daiti tzarchiyun. I don't want to, you know, let me say, even according to Rosh's Geder, it's a little bit of a tzarech ion, you know, is it really true that microwave ovens are dumya de mishkan because they're great ways of cooking? I don't know. They're great ways of cooking a few things. There are like five or six things that it's great to cook in a microwave oven, but they're not really used for cooking normally like ovens are.
I'm confused about the second and third answer then, because it seems very like the differences between the number not being the derech and also being like...
Okay, let me say it a little better.
Could it be one second.
No. Maybe I'll use another word. Rav Chanan says special b'shinoi, right? I don't think you'd call cooking a microwave a shinoi. I mean, what I mean is this: you wouldn't call if you wanted to make to make tea, so you put water in the microwave. You wouldn't call that a shinoi. You would say that's a thing that people often do. If you want to cook corn on the cob, right? That was your example, Rafi?
Yeah.
And you put it in the microwave. You wouldn't call that a shinoi. But would you say, in general, it's a classic cooking, you know, method like ovens? I'm a little misupik, but halacha l'maisa, Rav Shlomo Zalman says no, because he goes by the definition of the word bishul is fire, v'zehu. According to Rav Chanan, I would think yes, because it's not mishunah. According to Rav Moshe, it depends if you call it a really good cooking method or not. He says yes. I'm a little misupik, but you know, who am I to argue with him about his own gedder? So halacha lemaisa, it's a machlok zaposkim. We assume lemaisa that bishul is that microwaves are a suffik, whether it's begedder bishul dot raisa or not. And therefore, on Shabbos, if it ever did come up to an afkmina, we'd be machber, and therefore Alex's ideas are not going to work. Because there are other post-girl yashers also machber on this. So halacha l'maisa, we assume it's a suffik, and therefore on Shabbos, we're machber on microwaves, even if there would be an afkmina. What are the other afkminas? Basar b'chalav, we'd be machber on microwaves. Someone took meat and milk and cooked them in a microwave. We want to know, is that asa d'oraisa or not? We'd be machber, mi suffik. Bishul Akum. Okay, there's a lot more room to be makel since Bishul Akum is Durabbanan that has no source in the Torah. Therefore, Bishul Akum in microwaves, I think there's more room to be makel, but certainly when it comes to Shabbos and Basar B'chalav, we'd have to be machmir on microwaves that's a chash of Isur D'oraisa.
Have anybody asked Rav Moshe's Talmidim if they think that
theoretically, yes. Yes, Isaac.
What's the number three? Sorry, I'm blue.
Igros Moshe.
Okay, Ben. So according to him, would he say that, would he also apply that definition on the week, during the week of Basar B'chalav? Like, we're defining all terms of visual?
That's a great question, because Rav Moshe specifically applies to Shabbos.
Right?
I think Rav Moshe would say that by Basar B'chalav, it's Pasha Usher, because Bishul is also whether it's similar to the Mishkan or not. So that's what I think. But I admit that it needs more eon because I have a few kashas in my head, so let's leave that sort of eon for now. Okay, halacha lemaisa, I think there is, you know, definitely room to be makel when it comes to Emre Lenker Shlomo Zalman and Bishul Akum, which is a issur d'rabbanan that has no parallel or source in the Torah, but when it comes to really issur d'oraisa, I think you have to be machber like Rav Moshe.
Is it possible that when discussing the Shiva and Rav Moshe and Rav Chanan, that when referring to Bishul and Mishkan, what they're referring to is like, what was the specific type of Bishul that they used when they did Samamanim, they did water, etc. Those types of things would for sure be easier and better to do in a microwave.
That's interesting. That's an interesting Ka'ara. Rav Moshe doesn't sound like that, but it's a good Svara. It's an interesting Svara. I totally hear that Svara. It's a nice Svara. Okay, now let's talk for a second about the Drabbanan part about Toldos Aor. Toldos Hachama, right? What are we pasking? Toldos Haor is Aser Min HaTorah. Toldos Hachama is Aser Midrabbanan. Gzeira Atu Toldos Haor. Let me ask you an interesting question. What about a kind of toldos hakama that you would never make a mistake and think is toldos ha'or? That's like obvious that you wouldn't make a mistake.
Burying it in the sand is like that.
You could say burying it in the sand is like that, and you could heat sand in a fire. I mean, here it gets a little tricky. Maybe this is the machlokas that the Magen Avraham brings down. In the Magen Avraham of Katan Yud, he brings down the machlokas, which really machlokas is not, it's just machlokas out of Paschim, about the issue of Gag Roteach, right? Says the Marshal, you're allowed to cook on Gag Roteach, the Lomichlas, the Toldos Ha'or. You're allowed to cook on a boiling hot roof, because you can't possibly have a roof that was heated in a fire, right? Roofs can only be heated by the sun. You can't put a roof in the fire. What about that case? What if you have a case of a gag roteach? On the one hand, you could say mutter because there's no chance of confusion. And this is the shita of the Maharshal. On the other hand, you could say aser because there's a general gzeira. We don't look at each case and say you're likely to be confused or not. It rolls in. Paul said the whole. Also, that is what the Magen Avraham quotes here from the Yerushalmi and the Tal Oros and the Magen Avraham. So here we have the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah and the post and assume it's a general gzeira, and that's how we paskin. We paskin that it is a general gzeira. This came up in Rav Avadya brought this up as one of the sudden mahakel, and there's a big discussion. What about a dud shemesh on Shabbos? Right. Hopefully, you've been here long enough. You're familiar with the idea of dud shemesh. There's a great chaf that the Israelis have to save money on heating water. Instead of like in America, we have a boiler that runs on gas or oil. And we spend a lot of money on fuel to heat water in our house. In Israel, there's something called a dud shemesh. What it is the cold water comes into this big tank on your roof. And the big tank on your roof holds a lot, 200 liters, something, depends. You can buy whatever size you want. And the way it works is that the cold water sinks to the bottom, of course. The hot water goes to the top. On the bottom, there's a little pipe that the cold water goes out, and it goes into this big rectangle, which has all these mirrors that refract the light of the sun into a pipe, a black pipe that absorbs all the light that's holding this water. So the cold goes to the bottom and goes into these pipes, and the mirrors focus the rays of the sun on it, and it gets boiling hot. Then as it gets hot, it rises up the pipes, and the pipes go back into the top of the big circle. You know, those big circles on everyone's roof, those big cylinders. And then it goes into the top and pushes all the water down, and then there's more cold water at the bottom that goes into that thing, gets hot, goes to the top, more cold water at the bottom. And that way, the sun, for free, because the sun shines, we don't have to pay, heats all your water, and that's a great way to have hot water on sunny days. If it's not a sunny day, then we'll get to that. That's the bane of this sugya. But for Vagid, one of its thunder was, if we had like the Marshal, that would be a great kula, even if the cooking there might be from things that got hot from the sun. You can't confuse a dud shemesh with a fire. It's a whole system which is special for the sun. And therefore, you want to use it in Tzad L'Hakel. It's not such a good Tzad L'Hakel. Because we open the faucet, and you can easily confuse whether it was from the sun or whether it was from... That's what Shlomo Zalman says. He says, I know, if all you had was a dud shemesh sitting there, maybe that would be one thing, and with the mirrors and everything, but you open the faucet, you can very easily confuse it. So he didn't like that Tzad L'Hakel at all.
There are no mirrors involved in
dud shemesh. Yeah, but there's, okay, whatever it is.
Is direct sunlight and a glass surface absorbing the energy?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why they have this glass. Maybe it's like the cars. You ever notice the car's always hot because the sunlight goes in and can't get out? Maybe that's what it is.
We're assuming that you're doing that halacha, like why?
That's why, by the way, you have to be very, very careful. Never leave babies in the car, because it's very dangerous. Because even if it's a cold day, the car can get to hundreds of degrees. So that's a public service announcement, because the briskers would say it's always good to be nizer and sakana.
In what way are you having an halacha? Like, isn't that just...
Aha! So, great question. This is the big, big machlokas. This is one of the famous examples of This is one of the famous things that people like to debate nowadays, when everyone likes to have these silly political debates that shift to the rights and things shifts to the right and things like this. In the first edition of Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasi, he matered Dud Shemesh, and in the second and third editions, he asered Dud Shemesh, and that is taken as by some people as evidence that, you see, it's all politics, that people pressure everyone to be more machmer than they really want to be, and that shows all favor in politics. And there's other people, it's taken as evidence that Talmidei Chacham are very intellectually honest, and even if they write something, they always rethink the issues, and if they made a mistake, they're willing to admit the truth and say I was mistaken, because truth is more important than my own covet. And maybe this shows that the derech of Talmidei Chachamim is they love the truth more than they love their own covet, and therefore they're willing to change their minds when they see another side to the issue. I happen to think the second approach is correct, A, because that's probably more likely in general in terms of how Torah works, and B, because I think he was right for changing his mind. And I would even go so far as to say, even though this would be a bit of a stretch, that it could be there's not even a stira. But it could be he didn't even change his mind, there's not even a stira, and they could both be right. But you have to give me a minute to explain what I mean.
So in what way are you actually doing a melacha?
Okay. Okay. So.
Now, I want to, if you theoretically had a special system set up, that you were like, this is the Shabbos Dud Shemesh thing, and it has like a sign that was like a separate little sink for hot water came and was only connected to Dud Shemesh. Would that be mutter, according to many of you?
Well, it'd still be the Marshal, and we don't hold like it, so it'd still be only a small tzad. That's not a big tzad.
Okay, but maybe if there was some reason you needed it or something?
I'll give you that, yeah, but I'm saying that would be the smaller tzad. We'll get to the bigger tzad.
Is this related to, like, a larger building, like a tower center with a hot water constantly
being heated? No, there is some rumor going on out there that... Yeah, there's some rumor going on in Manhattan that apartment buildings are different and you're allowed to use hot water in apartment buildings on Shabbos.
That's been going on for a lot of years.
I never really got any clarity as to why people think that. It's not a great svara. I mean, clearly apartment buildings, but they never have Dud Shemeshes. Or Divadei Shemesh, technically. But I think nowadays it's
Divadei Shemesh. I think that they claim something that's not correct.
Yeah, I think somehow...
it's filling up automatically.
Yeah,
which
doesn't seem
but
to
I've
make
been
any
told
sense.
By, like,
yeah.
Four different posts.
Yeah, I don't really understand the svara. Whenever I ask people, no one can actually, like, trace it back to a real svara. So I don't really understand the apartment building thing, unless you want to say that maybe it's a secretion to Lonichale to cook more water in the apartment buildings. In my house, I want a boiler full of water in case I need to take a shower or something. But in an apartment building, it's so big and there's so many goyim there that, like, there's plenty of water plenty of water for me. It's not going to run out. My little water is not going to make any difference in this big apartment building thing. Like, even if the liters I use were never replaced, wouldn't make any difference. So, if you want to say secretion to Lonichale, even Sagrashil and Nichle is awesome, but then they want to add some post and said it was Grumma, remember?
Are there any post given that actually say this, though?
I have to correct something from before. Remember I said you could say a Svara based on Grumma, etc., to be matzdik, people who open out water on Shabbos?
Yeah.
I actually found someone who did say that Svara, the Mishpatei Uziel of Rav Uziel, the Rav Rashi of Israel. So he actually does say that's why Matz is using hot water on Shabbos. Matz is using hot water on Shabbos because it's Grumma. And that's a big chiddush, meaning not in Dud Shemesh, even in gas and oil, etc. Yes. The Mishpatei Uziel, Matz is using all hot water on Shabbos, being in apartment buildings, being not in apartment buildings. Someone might say that maybe if you rely on that in apartment buildings, an apartment building is so big that you don't really care what happens. None of that's mainstream halacha, but it is good to know that there is a not only a limud tzchus but a posek who is malamed tzchus and who is mekel on all these things that a lot of people do, but that's not mainstream halacha. Mainstream halacha is if your water is heated by gas, oil, or electricity, or any other creative things you can think of, that is usher to open the hot water in Shabbos. Let's talk about a Dud Shemesh though. What happens when you have a good shemesh in your house, and you turn on the hot water faucet. So, A, if you turn on the hot water and the cold water at the same time, and you make it come out pretty hot, then you're cooking the cold water that goes through your faucet, because you're mixing with hot water and making it really hot. But that usually doesn't happen, because usually when you turn on the hot water and cold water and mix it, you mix it to below yatzo lettuce bow. Usually you don't make it more than yatzo lettuce bow. Okay, so that's one problem. One problem is, if I turn on, you know, like in most taps, you turn on the middle, it takes some hot, some cold, and it turns out that it's higher than yatzo lettuce bow, then I'm taking cold water and mixing it with hot water, making it yatzo lettuce bow. That is, I think that's pashut a problem. So, what about opening the tap of a dud shemesh? So there's two cases. One is where I mix cold and hot in the tap to above yatzo lettuce bow. That should be certainly usser. Why is that certainly usser? Because in the faucet, I am cooking cold water using hot water, which is toldo sachama, right? I'm taking the hot water that's cooking the sun, and I'm using it to cook cold water. That's for sure a problem. So if you want to wash dishes on Shabbos in, let's use Fahrenheit, 110 degree water. So I turn on the hot and cold till it's 110 degrees. That's for sure a problem, because now I'm cooking the cold water and getting it to 110 degrees by mixing with toldo sachama. But let's say you don't like such hot water, right? Yeah.
Is that a problem with molid also?
No.
You're changing the steps,
the
water?
No, that's only changing the state, not the steps, liquid to solid. Okay, but what about the normal case? What if no? What if I either run pure hot water or mix cold and hot to make below yatzo lettuce bow? Right? Then there's no bishul going on in the tap. In the faucet, either I'm taking only hot water out or I'm taking cold and hot, but it's 100 degrees. Right? So then I'm not doing any bishul in my faucet. What's the chashash? There are two problems. Two issues. After all, when the hot water comes out, what goes in instead? Cold water goes into the dud shemesh instead. Two issues. What are the two issues? Cold water enters the dud shemesh, and A, gets cooked by the sun, right? And B, gets cooked by the hot water in the dud shemesh, right? Meaning, when I open the tap and take out hot water, more cold water replaces it and gets cooked in two ways. It might go into the pipe and get cooked by the sun, or it might stay in the cylinder and get cooked by mixing in with the hot water that's already there. So, for that reason, many poskim are machmir. So, for example, who says usser?
Imagine just send them to, what's the difference between those two?
What?
One is there's no water in and then new cold water is coming in, and one is there's still some hot water in.
No, when the cold water goes in, it might stay in the cylinder and get cooked by mixing with the hot water in the cylinder.
Right.
Or it might go into that pipe, into that glass panel, and get heated by the sun. So therefore, who says us? And also, and now, even when it gets cooked by the sun, what do you mean it gets cooked by the sun? Is it directly in the sun? No, it's inside that panel, right? So it gets cooked by the panel, each of which is called toldo sachama. So in two ways, I'm making it get cooked by toldo sachama. That's the chashash. Who says it's usher? Many postmen say it's usher, such as, the deer shoot, they're probably getting more postmen say it's usher. They're very good at that. He quotes from Rebel Yashiv, and so who says usher? Rabbi Yashin was quoted in the and the Minchas Yitzchak says it's Asr, and the Shevet HaLevi says it's Asr. Right, many say it's Asr. However, many poskim say it's Mutter. Who says it's Mutter? What? One second, let's see. No, not the Dirsha. The Dirsha doesn't quote the like slightly modernish poskim so much. The who said Musar, for example, the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, the Rav Avadya, the Abida Omer. You know, the non-Dirshu type poskim.
Dirshu, is this a savior you're talking about?
Yeah, you don't know the Dirshu? Oh, it's the Malbec. It's the best. I'll show you later. Okay. We don't have much time. I have to go light candles. They say it's Mutter. Why do they say it's Mutter? There are different Svaras. Some which hold from Svaras more than others. What are some of the Svaras they say it's Mutter? Number one, and this, number one, we didn't get to Shlomo Zalman yet. I'm going to throw them in a second. Why do they say it's Mutter? They have a bunch of different factors. One factor is, if you remember, the Har Tzvi held it's called Grumma. When you open the water down here and it flows over there, that's called Grumma. We said that was called Grumma, okay? This is only the Sofer, provided you didn't like it, but the Har Tzvi says it's Grumma. Number two, Rav Avadya loves this Tzad L'Hakel. You know what? Let me take it back for a second. First, they all say you have to separate the two panels, the two issues. A is called Chama, not Toldos Chama. The fact that some water goes into the panel and gets heated by the sun going through the glass, that's not Toldos Chama. Because Toldos Chama means something got heated by the sun and then heats something else. Here, it just focuses the rays of the sun as the rays of the sun are going in. What does it do?
The sun is actually heating out the black plate, which then transfers the heat into the water and that's passing through the pipes, which are embedded in the
it's like hot plate. It's like a hot plate.
Yes, but... Yes, but
it's
once...
Like, it's like cooking on a pan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly! Cooking on the pan is not Toldos Or. Cooking on the pan is Or. Toldos Or means you take the pan off the fire and cook on it. Over here, since this black panel with the black metal only works while the sun is shining on it, it doesn't retain heat. It only works while the sun is shining on it. That's called chama. That's called the chama going through the metal. Told us the chama would be that even if you took it away from the sun, it would cook. Because it stored so much heat. Over here, they say that's called chama mamish. Okay, B.
What if it's continuous?
Because it only works while the sun is shining on it. It doesn't store any heat. B, they say, but what about the fact that when you take out hot water, more cold water comes and gets mixed with the hot water in the cylinder, in the dut. The hot water is clearly told as a chama. So B, there are many tzadim l'hakel. One of the many tzadim l'hakel, number one, grumma. I know, now, it's a machlokas whether it's grumma or not. Tzvi says it's grumma. Aleph is grumma. B, I'm not saying we rely on any of these, but you put them together, right? Grumma, B, sik resha, the iser d'rabbanan. Rav Avadya, there's a true Sadash in the whole Sikresha is Mutter and Darabonim. Toldos Chama is only Darabonim, right? There's all the side of Darabonim. So there's a sheet that Sikresha is Mutter and Darabonim. Rav Avadya said that's always half of a Kula. It's already half a Kula if you have Sikresha is Darabonim. That's one side of the Hakel, just like other side of the Hakel. C, that it might be a Sikresha is Lomi Chalei. Why? If you think about it, it's Nichole that the water goes in that panel and gets heated by the sun. That's how a Dut Shemesh works. I get free energy from the sun. But is it Nichole that the cold water mixes with the hot water in that cylinder? No, I have the same amount of heat either way. If I were to have 50 liters of very hot water or 100 liters of lukewarm water, it would be the same thing in my sink. I'd mix it and end up the same amount. If you're not mathematically inclined, you might not believe me. But the fact that I mix... It's like this. When I open the tap, I'm going to mix cold and hot anyway. I'm not going to have any more hot water because more cold water gets mixed with this hot water than if it didn't. So it's really no lo nichole. The only reason I'm happy that the cold water goes into the cylinder is because it's going to go in the panel. That's nichole. The fact that it mixes the hot water in the cylinder, that's not nichole.
So I'm not much of an expert on this, but couldn't that be one of the reasons why an apartment building is better? Because because
correct, that could be one of the reasons.
Water,
exactly.
there's so much hot water that you don't even need it in cold water. Anymore.
Exactly. And Dalit is maybe if the Dover She'ena Miskaving, what do I mean by that? Maybe it's not even a psik ratio. It's not even sure if it's a psik ratio that cold water will get heated by the hot water. Why? Because the way these cylinders work, the cold water goes to the bottom, the hot water goes to the top, and the cold water doesn't even always mix with the hot water. Sometimes the cold water stays in the bottom and just gets lukewarm. It goes up to 80, 90, 100 degrees, but cold water that comes in will be at the bottom, and it won't be near the top, and maybe it'll never get the yatzo lettuce foam by mixing with the hot water. Meaning, since the cold water goes in the bottom instead of the top, it might never actually get cooked, because the cold stays in the bottom, since it enters on the bottom. Since it enters on the bottom, and cold goes down and hot goes up, it might never get cooked by the hot water. Now, Yom will do scientific research, tell us who's right, but the post can say, with all these sudden lahakel, says, hold on a second. It might be a psikration in Drabbanan, it might be a psikration in Nichle and Drabbanan probably, it might not even be a psikration, it might be Dover She'ena Miskaving, and besides the fact, it might be Grumma anyway. So with all these sudden lahakel, you're going to ask for the hot water and Shabbos, and even if they're all wrong, it's still not an issur d'oraisa, because it's all told as a chama. There's still no chash d'oraisa. You have many tzadim l'hakel, the whole chash is d'rabbanan in the first place. Say for sure mutter, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't know if I'm misquoting Rav Shlomo Zalman, but I...
These posts can mamash say it's 100% what they're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Many Israelis. Again, Shmer Shabbos Kol Chasa, first edition, said you can use the hot water and Shabbos Yom Dud Shemesh. Many Israelis do that. Everyone, all the Israelis I know, if they have a Dud Shemesh, they use the hot water on Shabbos.
But is there also a boil?
Hold that thought. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, though. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, however, there's one problem that really, in my opinion, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't use such graphic imagery, but he said there's one problem that's a nuclear bomb that explodes this whole heter. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, what's the problem? Says, first of all, now that the Shemeshes are normal, maybe it should be even Doraisa. Well, okay, fine, let's assume not that way. Let's assume Kham is still Darabonic, because after all, he held that the definition of Bishul is by fire. Sun is by definition not Bishul. And even Ramosha might say, no, just because you can use it for water, but you can't cook anything else with it. Fine. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, what's the problem? The problem is, I don't know what life was like when he put out the first edition of Shir Shabbos Kol Chasa. That was a long time ago. In those days, maybe people weren't so spoiled. How did our ancestors live? They weren't spoiled. When it was hot, you got free hot water from the Dud Shemesh. When it's sunny, when it wasn't sunny, you didn't have hot water. Right? When it wasn't sunny, so you don't have hot water. You're eating hot water every day. In the winter, you got hot water on sunny days. But nowadays, no one would stand for that. So every single Dud Shemesh in the world, they don't make a different kind. Every Dud Shemesh nowadays, what does it have? It also has an electric element inside. And every Dud Shemesh has a switch. Not like you guys. In gross, you only have electric Dud. But every Dud Shemesh is also an electric Dud. It has a switch, right?
Every other
apartment. Oh, okay, sorry.
Some of us don't actually have hot water.
The Seder. Okay, we're not
going to do the
whole character.
Okay.
You know what? It builds character. It builds character to have to take a cold shower. The tricky part is it doesn't build character to have to explain to your wife why there's no hot water. That gets much trickier. But for you, it builds character. But every Dud Shemesh nowadays, they don't sell a Dud Shemesh that only works off the sun. Because no one wants to not have hot water on a rainy day. So every Dud Shemesh also has an electric element inside. And you can turn on the switch and use the electricity, or turn off the switch and use the sun. And what do people do? If it's a sunny day, they leave the switch off to save money. If it's a cloudy day, they turn the switch on and heat it with electricity. Or if it's a kacha day, but they know there's a lot of water they're going to need, everyone's going to bathe in the same day, they turn on the electricity to just make sure they have plenty of hot water. You know, if it's a semi-cloudy day.
But if it's off, what difference does that make that you could...
No, okay. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, hold on a second. He says, I'm very nervous about this. Why? Because taking a hold of technicalities, you come out with a kula. When did the kula work? The kula works if there's two different kinds of days. On some days... the switch is off. And on those days, it's the water in the dud is toldo sachama. And if the water in the dud is toldo sachama, then you you harbe poskim. It's totally mutter. Again, it could be the first day of Shavuot Shabbos Kol Chasa. Maybe most people had only done Shemeshes, but that electricity, I don't know. But on other days, especially Fridays,
that's
why Levitz. Maybe originally many people only used the sun, and even if they had a switch, no one used the switch. They were too poor. Nowadays, we're all rich. We use the switch all the time. On other days, the switch is on, especially on Fridays, because on Fridays you need so much hot water. When the switch is on, the water in the dud is Toldos Ha'or. Now, all of a sudden, it's not a Shaila Toldos Ha'am anymore. It's Toldos Ha'or. If cold water goes into the hot water, it's the same as in America. Right? Now, it's Aser Mida Oraisa to open the hot water tap. Why? Because hot water comes out, new cold water goes in, mixes with the hot water, and gets cooked by Toldos Ha'or. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, hold on a second. Chazal made Gzeira and told us Achama Atu told us Or. Wouldn't this be the right place for them to make their Gzeira? This is mamish, the same thing. On one day is they told us Or, the other day told us Achama. The same, not just the same faucet, the same dud, the same exact thing is in some days told us Achama, some days told us Or. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I'm very nervous about this. How is someone going to remember that on Friday nights, when it was sunny outside that day, you can use the hot water? But on Friday nights, after a cloudy day, it's Aser D'oraisa to use the hot water. For sure someone's going to make a mistake about that and come to do an Aser D'oraisa.
So it's not on. Nobody would leave it on in Shabbat.
It doesn't matter if you leave it on Shabbat.
Because it was already heated.
As long as it was on Friday, the water inside is Toldos Ha'or. Right? Even, switch was on. Even if now it's off.
But the water will have cooled down.
It depends by when. By Shalosh Shuddis, yes. By Friday night, not. So what are you going to tell me? On Friday night, if it was cloudy today, it's Aser D'oraisa to turn on the water. But on Shalosh Shuddis, if it was cloudy, it's mutter. And on Friday night, if it's sunny, it's mutter. You really expect people to be able to keep that distinction in their everyday life? So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he says, look, I don't make new Gzeiros. But Chazal made Gzeiros to Tzachama Atzah Tzah Or. It really sounds like this should be a case. Therefore, even though it's a bit of a chiddush, because technically, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, technically, to Sif Dalet. What part do we not need anymore? This part. Okay. Sif Dalet is about the sugya of Bishul Acher Bishul. Yesh bechalat bishul acher bishul or ain bishul acher bishul. What do we mean? If something's already cooked, is it usher to recook it or not? Here you have a stira between different gemaras. Let's just point out what it says in a few gemaras. On the one hand, right, we have here is our boxing match. In the one corner, we have the Mishnah on Daf Kof Mehayam and Beis says very explicitly. Kol sheba b'cham ne'erev Shabbos, shorno so b'cham b'Shabbos. Kol shelo b'cham ne'erev Shabbos, madichro so b'cham b'Shabbos. Whatever was already cooked in hot water on Friday, you're allowed to put back into the hot water on Shabbos. Whatever wasn't cooked on Friday, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So on the one hand, yesh bishol achar bishol, meaning is it usher to recook? On the one hand, no. The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Hengel and Bey says, whatever was already cooked, you're allowed to put back in hot water on Shabbos. On the other hand, there are two or three gemaras. One is Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. No meaning mutter. Yes meaning usser. What did it say in Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph? It says they made a gzeir against hatmana. What are the two levels of hatmana? Two types of hatmana? Hatmana bedavar. Hamosiv hevel, ain't hamosiv hevel. If you do hatmana, I mean, you in those days, they didn't have modern technology. How do you keep food warm? Nowadays, how do you keep food warm? You leave your oven on, right? Or you put on a plata or a blech. In those days, they didn't have such fancy technology and they couldn't afford to use them. So the way they kept food warm is they insulated it. That was free and didn't require technology and didn't require spending money on fuel. So if you insulate it in a substance that doesn't add heat, in a heat-preserving substance, that's only usher on Shabbos, but mutter before Shabbos. To insulate in a heat-adding substance is usher even before Shabbos, like compost or something, right? Adds heat. You add heat and it becomes hotter. Chemical reaction. That's usher even before Shabbos. The Gemara says, why are these things usher? And there's a machlokas girsa. The Gemara says, these two types of tefillin are usher for two different reasons. It's a machlokas rishonim, what the girsa is, which reason goes with which gzeira. But Rashi's girsa is, they assert hatmana on Shabbos, b'dover she'enu mosif hevel, gzeira shemi yartiyach, gzeira shemi yartiyach, lefi girsas Rashi. What does it say here? Here it says, kol sheba b'chamin lifnei Shabbos, Shorin Oso Bechamin Bishabas. Right? So that says it's mutter. No problem with recooking. On the one hand, what did it say the Girsas Rashi? Aser Lehatmin Bidogar She'enu Moset Hevel Bishabas Gzeira Shema Yartiyah. Gzeira, you might boil it. What does it mean, gzeira, you might boil it? It's already cooked. You only insulate food that's cooked. It might get, says, that's a Rashi, it says Rashi. Shema yimtza k'deo shenetztanana, k'sheyitza t'mina v'yartichena t'chila v'nimtza m'vashal v'shabes. Says Rashi, you might, when you're trying to insulate it, see you got too cold, but you want it to be hot, so you'll reboil it. Right? Shema yartiach, what does Rashi say? Rashi says that reboiling equals mevashel. That's the gzeira. Clearly, it has to be gzeira utter something doraisa. So that's one reason. A second reason is a sugya on daf yud ches amud beis, and there's something similar in beitza. It says you're not allowed to leave dyes boiling in the pot. You're not allowed to leave dyes boiling in the pot when Shabbos starts. Why? Because you might stir it. Okay, what if there's no coals, whatever. It says, because you might... Sorry, you might stoke the coals. What if there's... one second. What if there's no... let me just read it to you. Just give me a second to read it to you. Where is this part? The Gemara says, Semer Liora, Necho Shema Megispa. Why aren't we worried you'll stir the Temer? Necho Shema Yagis the Temer. If your wool is in the dyeing pot, why shouldn't we be afraid you'll stir it? And says Rashi obviously has a pattern here. Rashi says, Uvim Vushol Havi Bishol. Says Rashi, stirring cooked item is Bishol. Okay, similar Beitza, they have an idea that someone who stirs is Chayav, which might imply that, that similarly, we have in Beitza Daf, and here we'll have to stop because I have to go. Beitza Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, incidentally, two Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Alephs, which is that you have the same idea that stirring cooked food is Bishul. So, we have one sugya which says it was cooked before Shabbos, you can keep cooking it on, you can cook it again on Shabbos. But then we have three sugyas that imply that it's usher to recook foods on Shabbos. One, gzeira, you might reboil a pot if you insulate it. And also, two sugyas which say it's usher to stir things which you cooked on Shabbos. So, how do we resolve that? And what does that lead to? Halacha L'maaseh, we'll have to pick up with Amir Tzashem on next Tuesday. Next year will be on Tuesday. Yes.